Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast. You tune me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Others of you tune me in by the way of Ionia, WION 1430 AM, or 92.7 FM, or 100.3 FM in the Lowell Ada area at 8 o'clock. And I welcome those of you to WION. Some of you tuned in by the way of WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And I need to share with you, we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I also want to welcome those that tuned me in by the way of my internet. My internet broadcast place is PastorKenHarger.com. Go to Current Media, click on Current Media, and it takes you to the broadcast for today. And I'm just glad to be able to share with you. I'm coming to you from the Lighthouse. It's a kind of a Tuesday towards evening, kind of a cloudy evening. And we had one or two fishermen out when I first came, but they've already quit. So maybe it wasn't biting. I don't know. But anyway, we're glad to be able to share with you. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial part of the broadcast time. So I say thank you to Bell and Judy Hammond. They are from the Belding area, to Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence, that was his nickname, and she's from the Orleans area, and then to Shiloh Community Church, who take care of the part of the broadcast as well, and I always like to give an invitation for you to attend the church there. At Shiloh, we begin Saturday night, 6:30. Sunday morning at 9, a contemporary service at 10:45. And we also have a Greenville campus. It's the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Larray Street. And that is Sunday morning at 11. K.N. Kingsinger picked out my music for this morning. She's been very faithful in doing that, and I sure have appreciated her through the years for all the work that she's done for me in getting me the music for each Sunday. Well, as we share the message today, my message is entitled, God Has Done It Before, and God Can Do It Again. Whatever He's done before, He can do again. Meet us at the point of our need, and also give us grace to live with what we cannot change. I want to address that this morning, and we'll just be working away on that in just a few moments. But before we do, we have a song that we need to listen to, and this is telling us that God can and He will. To the promise of God that how He's been with others, He's going to be with you and I today as well. Having a little trouble with my voice this morning, so just kind of bear with me if you will. And I'll just take a sip of water every now and then, and we'll see if we can get through the broadcast. I have a doctor's appointment coming up to do some check over on me about the middle of March, and I'm looking forward to finding out if anything is going on, okay? Well, let's just keep that in mind, and let's come to Him this morning and desire to worship Him and to learn from Him. And to get us started, we're going to listen to a song that's telling us that God can and He will. And I'll be right back in just a few moments. God bless you.
We all know the power of our mighty God. We all see His handiwork in this earth we tried. But there is a problem, it's holding us back still. We all know God can, but we must believe He will.
God can,
and He will,
and He will
help you climb the highest hill.
God can,
and He will,
and He will
whisper, peace, be still.
He has the power in His hand.
It's His will for you to stand. Demons flee at His command. God can, and He will.
It's the will of our God for us to overcome.
It's His will for us to reach that heavenly home. He will work in us, His word He will fulfill.
We all know God can, now let's all believe He will.
God can, and He will,
and He will
help you climb the highest hill.
God can,
and He will,
and He will
whisper, peace, be still.
He has the power in His hand.
It's His will for you to stand. Demons flee at His command. God can, and He will. God can, and He will. Every promise He'll fulfill. You will find His love is real. God can,
God can,
and He will.
God can,
God can, I know He will help you climb the highest hill.
Well, God can,
God can, I know He will whisper, peace, be still.
He has the power in His hand.
It's His will for you to stand. Demons flee at His command. God can, and He will. It's His will for you to stand. Even flee at His command. God can, and He will, and He will, yes, He will.
I love that. God can, and He will. He's able to give you the power to stand. He's able to meet your needs today, whatever your needs are. God can, and He will. But I also like it in that song that it shares with us. We must believe. We must believe. As we pray to Him, He tells us, don't be like the waves, tossed to and fro. Come to me with assurance that you know that I will hear you and I will answer you as you pray. So once again today, I would like to pray for the listening audience that God might meet your need, whatever it is today. And that's what we're going to be talking about, how God desires to meet each one of our needs. But I'm believing in God for you, that God might just bless and meet whatever the needs of you, the listening audience, is today. Because you're my congregation. You whom I'm sharing the message for today. That's why I put it together and studied it and come over here to do the deliverance of the message. So let's just bow for a moment of prayer. Dear Father, I come to you on behalf of the listening audience. Every single person has got their radio tuned to my program today. I pray that you would be pleased to bless them in a very special way. Father, I have no way of knowing what their week was like. I have no way of knowing what they have experienced. But I just pray that you would be pleased to give them, if they need comfort because they've lost a loved one, that you would give them that comfort. If they need special strength physically because maybe they've gone through a surgery, or they've just been told they have cancer, or whatever else it is that they might be experiencing physically, I pray that you might meet their needs this morning according to your will. And then, dear Father, for those that have spiritual needs, they're just maybe feeling defeated, maybe a little bit disappointed or discouraged, I pray that you meet their spiritual needs according to your will. I want to pray for the families too. Father, many times as a family, we have special needs that we're going through as an individual. And so I pray that you would meet the family needs according to your will. Now, Father, I want to pray especially for those that are older. I realize that there's some that's not able to get out of their home. They're not able to get out to church today, and I thank you that you've given me the privilege to share with them today the message that you've laid upon my heart. Would you be pleased to guide and direct to this end, I pray, in Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen. You know, I need to tell you that I really enjoy praying for my listening audience. And I got to tell you, here a while back, there was an individual that came to me and he said, "Thank you for praying for me, Sunday. We just found out I have cancer." And you know, I don't know the need of each person, but Father, the Father does, the Heavenly Father does. He knows the need that we have. And when I pray for those needs, I just expecting God's going to do something to help meet you at the point of your need. Well, that's kind of what I'd like to talk about this week, is that God can meet us at the point of your need. Have you ever noticed how hard some weeks are? The needs seem to be very much greater in some weeks than others. Every week in someone's life, there's a need because he's been in the hospital. Maybe he had a root canal. Maybe he has gone through a biopsy, had an MRI, had a CAT scan. Maybe he had some blood tests and it didn't turn out quite the way they was hoping it to. Maybe also has had some migraine headaches. Maybe some depression is sent in. Maybe there's some things that's causing worries. And the problems all work to cause us to realize we are needy people. We are. We are needy people. And we need to realize that sometimes the need is because of family. There's so much dysfunction today in the family unit. And sometimes that's what the need is. What I want to share today is that God wants to meet people's need. He wants to meet us at the point of our need. And I believe from everything that I've experienced and the promises that God has given us in his word, that he never wants to leave us with that need. There's some things in the book of Psalms that I would like to share with you. God has done it before. He can do it again. Here are some of the promises God gave in the Old Testament to the people of that period of time. In Psalm 50, verse 15, God said, "Call upon me in your day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me." Call upon me, God said. I will give you some deliverance. You know, one of the reasons he goes on to say that was Psalm 91. "Because he loves us, says the Lord, I will rescue him who will protect him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. He calls on me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in time of trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation," or my deliverance. That's from the book of Isaiah 41, verse 17. God promised people in the Old Testament that he would meet them at the point of their need. And what God has done before, he's able to do again. He wants to meet you and I at the need, whatever our individual need is today. You know, the poor and needy search for water, is said, but there is none. Their tongues are parched and they're with thirst. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. And I think we need to realize that God is saying that God doesn't give what we can handle, but God helps us handle what we are given. Let me do that again. God does not give us what we can handle, but God helps us handle what we are given. Maybe some different trials that you're going through, and sometimes, you know, the trials are different in different ages of our life. I don't mind telling you, and I think most of you know by now, because I mentioned it quite often, my wife says, that I'm 85. And at 85, the trials are different than they were in the earlier years of life, as you're raising a family, buying your house, and doing all those kinds of things. But God is still faithful to those of us when we get up in these years. Our needs are different, and he's able to help us with whatever the needs are. He wants to meet us at the point of our individual need. God is the God of the individual. God's done it before for individuals in the past. God can do it again for you and I. You know what? One of the things that I like, because sometimes some people think, well, I don't know about God because I don't know if I have any rights before him. There's a beautiful story that Jesus told that always has impressed me. It's about two men that went up into a temple to pray one day. And let's just listen to what it says in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Jesus told a parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And because they trusted in themselves that they were righteous, they treated other people with contempt. Jesus said, you got to listen to this. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee, a very religious man, well respected in many places. And the other was a tax collector, not very well respected. It was a Jew that was working for the Roman government. And the Jews didn't like that. The Pharisee, standing by himself, he prayed like this. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I am not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. Or even I'm not like this tax collector standing over there. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I earn. Just telling God how good he was. But listen to this. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. He beat himself upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man that prayed that kind of a prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, he went down to his house justified rather than the other man. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself shall be exalted. Two different men, two different backgrounds, went into the temple to do the same thing. To pray to God. The one man, a Pharisee, a very religious man, a very prominent man in good standing in the community, he stood up front and wanted everybody to notice him. And he told God how good he was. And he told God all the good things that he did with his life. And he even thanked God that he wasn't like other people. But he was better than them. He even thanked God that he wasn't like the tax collector. On the other hand, that tax collector, who was there in the temple also to pray, I like to think of him as the first man of telling God how lucky God was to have this man, to have him on his side. But the tax collector, when it come his time to pray, standing way back, probably just inside of the door, not even looking up into the heavens, but looking down at the floor. He beat himself upon his breast. That's a sign of disappointment and despair in himself. And he prayed to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It seems like he's saying, everything that the Pharisee is not, I am. And everything that the Pharisee does, I don't do. Be merciful to me. You know what? Jesus didn't compare their conversation with one another. You know what Jesus did is what he's telling us. He compares the heart. The one that prayed because he felt he's so self-righteous. And the other that prays, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The difference between the two men, The religious man did not recognize that he had a need. The tax collector recognized that he had a need, and he recognized that the need was that he had the need of God's mercy and God's forgiveness. You know, when I'm talking about God meeting us at the point of our needs today, we need to understand that before God can meet us at the point of our need, we need to be able to recognize that we have a need. If you don't think you don't need God, I have said for years when I was preaching, God is only for those that know they need him. God is not for those that can make it on their own. And I got to tell you, folks, right up front, all the way through my life, I have come to the conclusion I've always needed him. I've always needed God for the difficulties that I was faced with and for wisdom to understand how I was supposed to do what I was supposed to do. God is saying to you this morning, and God is saying to me this morning, recognize your needs. Recognize what it is that you need in your individual life. God can meet us on our need, at our need spiritually. You see, what happened with that Pharisee? He didn't think he had any spiritual needs. The sinner, the tax collector, he recognized he had spiritual needs. One day Jesus was preaching his Sermon on the Mount, and one of the statements that he made is something very special. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. He's talking about people who are blessed, people that are in a place of receiving God's blessing. He said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." God's saying, blessed are those that know they need help. They need mercy. They need forgiveness. Blessed are those, the self-righteous Pharisee, he's just saying to God, you're lucky, God, to have me. The sinner's saying to God, I have no right before you, but I would like to have some of your righteousness put into my life. And Jesus is saying, a person is blessed when they're hungry spiritually. I have said for many years, my favorite people to feed, and I've done a lot of cooking in my lifetime, and I'm so glad that my mom taught me to cook. I'm so glad that I continued to practice that whenever I could. In retirement, I've done many lunches there at the lakeside, you know, at my lighthouse. Would always have from 70 to 90 people out for a senior citizen lunch, and I would do the cooking. I loved it. God was preparing me for right now because my wife is having physical difficulty in being able to stand very long. So I become the cook at the house. And I got to tell you, I'm loving it. I'm loving doing it, and she's doing okay too. But you know what? I've always said the people I love to feed the best is those that are really hungry. Hungry people are fun to feed. They're not going to be picky people. You know what God is saying to you and I today? I want you to be hungry. And I want you to be thirsty for things being right in your life, for having the righteousness of God. You know what his promise was when he got through saying that? He said, those that are hungry and those that are thirsty for righteousness, they shall be satisfied. I love that. I don't know about you, but I've had times in my life when I thought I'm hungry for something. Went to the refrigerator and took a look. Couldn't seem to find what it was. You know what I do? Bobby, you've done the same. We eat a little of this and we eat a little of this, and pretty soon we're not hungry, but we also kind of overeat. And you know what God is saying to us? I want you to realize this is something that is very special. When we live our life after God's ways, you need to understand that does not increase the power of God. That doesn't make God more God because we do the things he tells us to do. Do you know that if a person chooses not to want God, he doesn't want to be hungry and thirsty after righteousness, he's saying, I don't need God. Doesn't make God any less than he is. That's not what it's about. It's about you and I. It's about you and I realizing that God is to help us with those things that we lack in our life. There's a beautiful verse that I've really loved. It's given to us in 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything we need for a godly life. And how has he given that to us? Through the knowledge of him, Jesus, who called us by his own glory and goodness. God says, you know what? It just makes God feel good to be God when you cry out that you need him. And when you hunger after him and thirst after him and want what God has to offer. You know, I've come to this conclusion. No matter what pace of life, what stage of life I was in, we all need outside help to grow spiritually. I love the promise that Jesus gave about, that God gives us about. He's given us everything that we need, coming from that divine power of God. Jesus, one day when he was talking to the disciples, he was explaining to them that he was soon going to die and he was soon going to go back to heaven. But I love it. He told him, I won't leave you like orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit, I'll ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And it'll come alongside of you. It'll be your source of strength, your source of encouragement, your source of understanding the Word of God. I believe the thing that has helped me the most in my life to want to grow spiritually is a realization that God, our Heavenly Father, has adopted us into his family through the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to me, as he's saying to you, you're my adopted child. You were children of the devil, so to speak. But now I've adopted you into my family. And you know the relationship that Jesus, the Son, had with God, the Father. Do what God promises us in the book of Galatians. He says that same spirit that was in Jesus that developed the relationship that he and I had with one another, that same spirit's going to be inside of you that you can call out, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. You know what that means? We can call our Heavenly Father, Daddy. I'm 85. I still love the idea that I have a Heavenly Father. I need a Heavenly Father. You need a Heavenly Father. And this Heavenly Father has a desire to meet your need, whatever it might be, as you trust in him. Well, I want us to listen to a song for a few moments, and I'll take just a little break and have a sip of water. My voice is trying to hold up, and I'm hoping it will. You know, sometimes in this time of the year, the weather's a little warmer and then a little cooler. I have trouble with my throat, and I probably, most everybody does have some kind of sinus problems and those kinds of things. This song is a reminder, don't judge one another. That Pharisee was judging. Let's listen. I love this story.
A long-time substance abuser. She left a good life in search of her own way. She had marks of her decisions. She sold herself to make provision. So she did not care what they had to say. On a summer Sunday morning, the gossip wheel started turning. I can't believe that she's in church today. But on the back row she was seated, so broken down and so defeated. As the choir sang, she bowed her head to pray. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Forgive not, if you'll never need forgiveness. Don't criticize what you don't understand. Jesus wrote a message in the sand. Judge not. He was listed as a deacon, supposed to be the shining beacon. But just for fun, he surfed the web at night. He was lured by the attraction, in desperate need of some attention from a wife who always seemed to pick a fight. She suggested that they meet, so he finally agreed. At a coffee shop just outside of town, he was consumed by her beauty, knowing well he had a duty. But at a cheap motel, he laid his duty down. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Forgive not, if you'll never need forgiveness. Don't criticize what you don't understand. Jesus wrote a message in the sand. Judge not. They were obviously a couple. They had seen their share of trouble. So they up and moved away to start again. On an interstate to Dallas, they prayed, Father, please allow us to find some decent, non-judgmental friends. But again, amidst the stares and sniggers, though they tried to be the bigger, condemnation broke their will in two. So one night they went out driving, so sick and tired of just surviving. The morning headlines read, suicide times two. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Forgive not, if you'll never need forgiveness. Don't criticize what you don't understand. Jesus wrote a message in the sand. Judge not.
Judge not. Wait, that's what we need to hear. That Pharisee was doing some judging. And sometimes that causes a whole lot more difficulty in our life. Causes difficulty for other people. But I'm so glad that tax collector recognized that he needed God's help. And he cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I'm so glad Jesus said, of the two men that came to the temple that day, the one that went home justified, you know what justified means? Just as if he hadn't sinned. That one that went home that day, justified, was the one, the sinner, the tax collector. God wants us to understand. He wants to meet us at our individual need. And sometimes that need is totally different. He wants to meet us at the point of our need. But the reality is that all of our life, you and I are faced with many things that we're called upon to deal with that we never invited to be a part of our life. Have you had some of those recently? Something that all of a sudden just invaded your life, so to speak. It wasn't invited. It was just something you're dealing with in your life today that you never thought you'd be dealing with as an individual. And it's something that you did not invite. In the early days of the Christian time and early church, Christians were being hated by the religious leaders. And many of them, they had to leave the towns they was living in. And they were scattered. They were scattered all across the region. And God chose to have a man by the name of James to write a book. Now, James was a son of Mary and Joseph. So therefore, he was a half-brother to Jesus. And at first, he did not believe in Jesus, but later he did. And I love the way he starts out the book of James. He says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful way this half-brother thinks of Jesus. To the 12 tribes, that's the nation of Israel, 12 tribes were scattered all over because of your faith. Greetings. Now listen to what he says. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, gives it freely, so to speak, and without any reproach, and it'll be given to him. Can you imagine these Christians that scattered all over, had to leave their hometowns and so on because of their faith in Jesus? And when James is saying to them by the Holy Spirit, I want you to do something. I want you to realize that you're going through all kinds of trials as a result of your faith. I don't think they ever figured they would hear this. Count it all joy when you go through various trials, or when you fall into various trials. That's those trials that we didn't invite. And all of a sudden, we're going through all kinds of trials. Why are we going through this? And then here comes the writer of James saying by the Holy Spirit, count a joy when that's happening in your life. You know that word count? It's an arithmetic word, so to speak. It has to do with like bookkeeping. You have a ledger of what is deficit and what is income or an advantage. He's saying, I want you to count it joy. I want you to consider that it's a good thing. It's going to produce a good thing. I want you to count it joy when you're going through all these kind of things that you didn't invite into your life. It's just because of the circumstances of life. It's just because others do not understand or whatever else it might be. You know, I think we need to realize that this is something that is tremendously important for us to get a hold of. We're talking about God's meeting us at the point of our need. Even, I think, he wants to meet us at the point of our uninvited needs. If I was to ask you and to think about it, you have in your life some uninvited needs. It may be because of another person. It may be because of a circumstance you find yourself in life. It may be of something that somebody else did that they shouldn't have done. Whatever it might be, God is saying, I want you to count it as joy. And you and I will say, God, I can't do that. This is causing me a lot of problems. But God says, you know what it's going to do for you? Now listen to what he said. He said, so that this is why it is good, because the testing of your faith. Now, this testing of faith is not for God's purpose. This testing of faith is for your purpose. So you can say, I believe in God. We can say that quite easily. But we're going to be tested now. Can we believe in God when somebody else is doing something that's causing us difficulty? Can we believe in God when there's something that's coming into my life that I didn't invite and I didn't do anything to cause it to happen, but now it's something I have to deal with? He's saying, be patient. Be patient. Testings will create patience. Then he says, let patience have its final work, or its the end purpose of this patience, its perfect work, that you might be perfect. Now, he's not saying perfect as far as being sinless, but he's saying you're going to learn how to handle situations that you had no part in, but you have to deal with it. I love the way it's finished when it said, complete. It'll bring about some completion in your life. It'll bring you to a point that you're lacking nothing. Haven't you had some time in your life when you said, man, got through that trial. Think we can handle about anything life has to offer us from this day forward. You know, he's trying to tell us that we need to face the trial with a sense of some joy that's going to be, it's going to produce something in our life. Somebody said to me the other day, I said something about, you know, some of the tough times of life are some of the best times of life. And they said to me, I don't know if that was the best times of life. It was just a life that there's just something you remember because it was so difficult. But you know what? When I think about my life, I think about things that's come into my life that has caused me a whole lot of pain and difficulty, a whole lot of questioning my faith in God and my belief and so on. But you know what? The end result is that God shows himself faithful in those circumstances of our life. I want to share something that's very personal. I want to share something in my next few moments that's very special to me. It's something that's been a part of Bev and I, my life, that we didn't invite. We would have just as soon gone through life without it ever happening. But it happened, and we had to deal with it. And God met us at the point of our need. First, I have a happy side, and I like to think of the happy side. This week, we came to March the 5th, 2020. March the 5th, 2020, reminds me, and remind my wife, Bev, that we have a son, Kendall. And he was born March the 5th. And you know what today is? March the 5th was? It was his 62nd birthday. I know, I feel old when I say I'm 85, but when I say I have a son that is 62. How did he get to be 62? You know, we remember him as little children, remember him in the younger years of their life. But he's 62. He's 62 years old, and we wished him a very happy birthday. I welcome you to the true senior citizen, 62. Him and I have had some conversations. He's not one willing to take the senior discount. I tell him, you're foolish. You're not being a good, steward of your money. I take the senior citizen discount. Those places that offered it at 50, I took it at 50. And I told him the difference once when we was in Florida, to how much it cost for me to feed him and his wife at a restaurant and what it cost for Bev and I as senior citizens. So I don't know if he's going to take the senior citizen discount or not. But that's a happy time in our life. It's a happy time to think about when he was born and his growing up years, and he's in a past pastoring a church over in Spring Green, Wisconsin, and doing a beautiful job. He's been there about 11 years or 10 years, and the church has doubled in size, and that's a wonderful feeling. But on the other side, March the 5th, 2000, our second daughter passed away suddenly with an aneurysm. So when we came to March the 5th this year, it was her 20th year that our daughter's been with Jesus. And we have missed her so much. Her family is totally grown now. They're all adult people. She's a grandma, and that would be pretty special. But I want us to understand that God says, I'll meet you at the point of your need. And sometimes those point of needs are in times of joy, and sometimes those point of needs is in time of sorrow. There's a Bible verse that I really like from the 2 Corinthians, and mostly I like it because I spend so much time with death and dying. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Blessed be him, he says. He goes on to say this, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we received ourselves are comforted by God. I love the Message translation. It says, you know, God comes alongside of you when you go through hard times. And before you know it, all of a sudden God's got you come alongside somebody else. There'll be a little help to them. That's the way God does it. You know, I say in grief, you see a side of God that you would never see otherwise. I think in joy, you see a side of God that you would never see otherwise. I love it when Jesus said about how when that shepherd found his one lost sheep, how he rejoiced and wanted everybody else to rejoice with him. There's a Bible verse that says, rejoice with those who rejoice. And weep with those who weep. We wish all of life could be a happy time, that there wouldn't be these sorrowful times. And then as time goes on, we wouldn't have the remembrance of those sorrowful times. But Bev and I was talking the other day, we wouldn't want to forget. We wouldn't want to forget Carlene and all she meant to us. And so we need to remember her. And so every time, many times through the year. Can I be honest with you and up front? I said it's been 20 years. But sometimes, dear people, I think of her, it's like it was yesterday. And that's hard to handle. We wish all of life could be just happy times and fun times. But God reminds us in his word, way back in the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes, for to everything there is a season. There's a time for every matter under the heaven. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. There's a time to plant, and there's a time to pluck up what is planted. There's a time to kill, and a time to heal. There's a time to break down, and a time to build up. There's a time to weep, and there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn, and there's a time to dance. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You know what the bottom line is from God? God has promised he made everything beautiful in its time. That's the difficulty that we're faced with. I've often said I'm glad we do not know what is ahead of us. And I say that even at the age of 85. We are told to live one day at a time. But as I think about life, I realize there's some bitter things in life, and I realize there's some very sweet things in life. And I believe God is saying to us, I'm going to supply your need in the bitter things of life, and I'm going to supply your needs in the joyful things of life. I came across this little saying. It's not mine, but I liked it. When life is sweet, say thank you and celebrate. When life is bitter, say thank you and grow. I believe God wants us to grow through all of those difficulties. I have one more thought I want to share with you, but I don't have only a couple minutes left. But I want to say and share this with you. We need to also realize that God's going to meet us at the point of those things that we cannot handle ourselves. Those things that cause us difficulty. The Apostle Paul one day prayed three times about something that was causing him difficulty. And you know, God, instead of saying, Paul, I appreciate you so much and you've done so much and we've got a good relationship with one another, I'm going to heal you. God didn't say that to Paul. There's some things in life that God just says we have to live with. We have to continue to face. Now, that's not easy, but it is easier the way God tells it. Listen to what he said to Paul. Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient. In your weakness, Paul, you're going to find my strength. And I love the way Paul responded. He responded with this idea. He said, I would rather glory in my weaknesses to find the strength of God coming alive in my life. And I believe that's what God is saying to you and I today. There may be those of you that's dealing with some weaknesses of your life, and you've wanted to get victory over them over and time again. And maybe you've even talked to God about it, and he hasn't seemed to answer your prayer. Maybe he's saying to you, my grace is sufficient. In your weakness, you're going to find my strength. And we can say with Paul, I will glory in the weaknesses I'm going through because I am finding the strength of this great God upon my life. I got a song in closing. It's simply saying, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient to meet your need, whatever it might be. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you. Bye-bye.
When it seems all hope is gone, he is high upon his throne, working out the plan he started in me. Even when the way is dark and I can't see very far, he the bright and shining light will be. I will worship and proclaim and give glory to his name, for his grace is sufficient for me. God's grace was sufficient for Elijah as he was standing there upon the mount. All the prophets of Baal, they began to scream and yell, but their God didn't even make a sound. Then Elijah prayed through just to see what God would do, and the fire of the Lord did fall. It consumed the sacrifice with a single flash of light, and Jehovah God was worshipped by all. Yes, God's grace is sufficient for me, God's grace is sufficient for me. When it seems all hope is gone, he is high upon his throne, working out the plan he started in me. Even when the way is dark and I can't see very far, he the bright and shining light will be. I will worship and proclaim and give glory to his name, for his grace is sufficient for me.
God's grace was sufficient for old Jonah as he was sitting in the belly of the whale. Old Jonah should have died, but the Lord kept him alive so that he would have a story he could tell. Well, then Jonah prayed through just to see what God would do, and the fish came swimming to the shore. Well, he spit old Jonah out, and when Jonah hit the ground, he was preaching like he'd never before. Yes,
God's grace is sufficient for me, God's grace is sufficient for me. When it seems all hope is gone, he is high upon his throne, working out the plan he started in me. Even when the way is dark and I can't see very far, neither bright and shining light will be. I will worship and proclaim and give glory to his name, for his grace is sufficient for me. God's grace is sufficient for me, God's grace is sufficient for me. When it seemed all hope is gone, he is high upon his throne, working out the plan he started in me. Even when the way is dark and I can't
bright and shining light will be. I will worship and proclaim and give glory to his name, for his grace is sufficient for me. I will worship and proclaim and give glory to his name, for his grace is sufficient for me.